And if you would join me in prayer. Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, in spite of how good this moment feels and seeing you, you guys are a sight for sore eyes, you know. In spite of that, this week leading up to this, my heart has been heavy. And it has felt heavy this week. Just look at our current events. The passing of the Supreme Court Justice, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Forest fires, storms everywhere around our country. Floods, the Middle East deal for Israel, renewed racial unrest that has sadly been the opportunity for others to come in and with riots and with violence in our cities. The November elections and politics, homeschooling, and think of those families that have double incomes or those families who are led by a single parent, how they're pulling that off. Our church has been opened this upcoming week. It is again for people who want a study hall kind of a thing for their kids. We've only had a couple families respond at this point, but we're trying to meet the needs in our local communities as well. Then there's this other thing. Oh yeah, it's called the coronavirus. It's still making the news. But on top of that, we also did get the Big Ten reopening season starting October 23rd. And did you know that this week, this very week, marks the 400th anniversary of the Mayflower setting sail? And do you know who launched it, that voyage? A church of persecuted Christians sending them to the New World. It led to the first Thanksgiving. It led to a missionary movement that has impacted the world. And that sending church still exists. I would love for us to become even more of a sending church. And here we are, the first indoor person in over 6 months in our 188-and-a-half-year-old congregation. You know, all in all, given everything going on, the fact is we've never been here before, and we're figuring things out, and our staff are talking about, and I just say, we'll try it. If it doesn't work, we'll just blame it on the pandemic. I know what I need is something I think that we're going to be all looking at, and I pray we're all going to be looking at this over the next 40 days. What could help move us out into our world more? Obviously, the world needs help. And what could help us and move us to help our world more without causing more damage? What touches more elements of all of these issues that we've named than any other? And the answer, I believe, as your pastor, is prayer. On every continent, people pray. Every culture, people pray. They don't all pray to the living God, as revealed in Scripture, that we believe in. But on every continent, in every society, people pray. Did you know that prayer was God's idea? If God did not want to hear from you, He wouldn't have made you the way that He did. Animals don't pray. People pray. And unlike what the world and many Christians think, prayer is not doing nothing. Let me say that again. Prayer is not doing nothing. Nothing. Without prayer, though, we're standing for nothing, running from one fix or from one cause to another. Like we're without a rudder, which is an image used in Scripture multiple times. We've substituted our Facebook posts for prayer. I know I'm getting into meddling here. We've substituted our Facebook posts for prayer. Oh, somebody offended me? I'm going to post about it. I'm not going to go to God about it. I'm going to just try and get a whole bunch of sympathy for it. Can you believe nobody was dead? How about instead of Facebook posts, we move to prayer? Rather than post about our worries and our frustrations and our celebrations, what if we would pray about them first? The funny thing is, prayer is so simple that even a child can do it 100% with no lack. So why do we adults struggle so often not knowing how to pray? For the next 40 days, basically through the end of October, the next 40 days, we're going to answer some of these tough questions. How to pray in a crisis? How to pray for a breakthrough? How to pray for renewal in your own life? We'll look at the parts of prayer and why we need to keep on praying persistently. And by the end of the 40 days, it is my prayer that you will be praying with more confidence and greater faith than you have ever had before. Now, there's a handful of tools over these next 40 days that I want you to invest yourselves in. The first one is an actual purchase, and this is the workbook that goes along with the 40 days of prayer. The idea of it really came from Rick Warren, who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. This is a beautiful book. It's a devotional book. It's got scripture throughout it, and there's a daily devotion for every day on prayer, a scripture verse on prayer with a couple questions tied into it. This page I opened to actually has my handwriting in it because it's from the first video session. There's also room for sermon notes in here, and there's coaching throughout in addition to the scriptures that are about prayer. We are sold out of ours. We had only ordered a few dozen, but you can go on to Amazon or wherever, and it's 40 Days of Prayer by Rick Warren, and it is a great guidebook. The lessons that I mentioned are the fact that there are 6 lessons on YouTube by Rick Warren, and if you simply go to YouTube and you type in 40 Days of Prayer Lessons or 40 Days of Prayer Lessons Rick Warren, you will get all 6 of the lessons. And this week, I desperately want you to take the 25 minutes of this lesson and get by yourself, get a cup of coffee or whatever you need, get a notebook or bring this, and listen to his presentation on prayer. This first lesson is beautiful and would love for you to be equipped with it as we talk about it next week. So there's the 40 Days of Prayer workbook. There's the 6 lessons that are on YouTube. Another one is that we have a weekday Zoom prayer group. They have been meeting since the shutdown began. That first Monday of the shutdown, we said, what can we do? What can we do? We added a virtual staff meeting. We added this 15 minutes a day prayer time. I know Tina Gordon's been a regular on it, and it's had up to 2 dozen people that are a part of it. The Zoom link is on our At a Glance on our webpage. And John's been a part of it. It's a phenomenal. Oh, and there's Dawn. Oh my gosh, and you're all here. Who's praying right now? That's what I want to know. That happens Monday through Friday at 11 to 11:15 a.m. It's a beautiful, beautiful time. Then Archie has started up again the 24-hour prayer vigil. That will happen from the end of Tuesday, midnight. I don't even know which midnight you refer to. But Tuesday at midnight till Wednesday at midnight. And you can go online and sign up for a 30-minute time to pray. And then we've got a 2-hour two-hour Saturday morning prayer workshop that's going to be led by a good friend of mine, Reverend Dr. Tara Sutton. She was the district superintendent in Flint for a number of years, and she's pastoring now about an hour north of us. And she's going to come. I've been to 2 of these workshops, and she just guides you through prayer. And it's a huge, it was a game changer for me, the first one that I attended 2 years ago, where I finally realized I got this. Not that I got this and I'm in control, but it literally was as big as my first conversion. You need to know that. And she's going to come here to Dexter and do that in a socially distanced, appropriate way for us coming up in a few weeks. We have to figure out new ways of dealing with all of these things. We have to figure out new ways of becoming God's people, the people who love God, who love people, and who serve the world for Jesus Christ. I love that it's love, love, serve. You know the song from the 1960s, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. You don't see a lot of that online and in the news. Love, love, serve. But I want people to see it all over the place because of the people God has made us as a congregation into. We've got to figure out new ways of dealing because we've never been here before. You know, I was looking up some prayer quotes, and Charles Spurgeon, who's one of my most inspirational preachers, just grabbed a few of his. Prayer is the safest method of replying to words of hatred. Let me say that again. Prayer is the safest method of replying to words of hatred. He said this, we must never cease to pray. No case is hopeless while Jesus lives. No case is hopeless while Jesus lives. He said this, I believe you get alone with Jesus and he will comfort your hearts and restore your souls. You know, they talk about mental illness during this time of COVID is very much on a steep curve. And to think about getting time with Jesus, you get alone with Jesus, he will comfort your hearts and he will restore your souls. And it's through Scripture that we see God has to bring you through something in order to show us who he really is and that you see him, yourself, how you really are. God brings us through things. And it is my prayer that God will bring us through this 40 days of prayer. Whether you're watching virtually, I guess I got to say that more often now with people here. It was natural up until this week. God's got to bring you through something in order to show us who he really is. And in that, you see, in his eyes, you see who you really are. Not who the Republicans tell us we are, or who the Democrats tell us who we are, or who anyone this side of heaven tells us. Precisely because we can't see this place we've never been before. We're like the people in Joshua chapter 3, God's people. You know, funny, because in Joshua 3, we see there are times when God says, stop, and Joshua even uses the word, a word for distance, like social distance. So, if you brought your Bibles, or if you want to study this at home, we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 3. Now, the people of God, they were delivered out of Egypt. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. They already crossed the Red Sea, but they need to cross the Jordan River. And this section is often labeled by Bible editors as crossing the Jordan, the defining event of identity for God's people. When they went from the wilderness to the Holy Land, crossing through the Jordan River. And this, for 3,000 years, has become the defining event of our Jewish friends, God's people. Joshua 3, verse 1. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. Sounds simple enough, but let's break it down. Early in the morning. Do you know great things happen early in the morning? I've settled on that as my time with God. I've tried other times of the day, but that for me, it sets my course for the day in the opposite direction of when I hop online first thing. And then you think about early in the morning in Scripture, great things happening, like, I don't know, maybe the women who go to the tomb discovering that it's empty. This morning, Joshua got all the people together and they went to the Jordan River. Now, significant things happen at the Jordan River, like the baptism of Jesus, the baptism of John the Baptist, God's voice coming upon Jesus coming out of the water. This is my son whom I love, with whom I am well pleased, as the Spirit descends like a dove on him. And his ministry begins. His identity is set. The Jordan is a place of identity for who you really are. For the Israelites, they crossed over and they became God's people in the Holy Land. But for us today, symbolically, I suppose, you could say it's like we're here at the Jordan River this fall. Not only has there been the wilderness of COVID and the politics and everything else going on, but this could be a defining moment for you as we enter into these 40 days. So many things are in play, but I'm calling you to your identity. But you can't get there without prayer. Joshua and all the Israelites, it says. Now, that's one phrase, but that's millions of people by now. Millions of people get there. They went to the Jordan, and the scripture says where they camped. Seriously, they assembled. That's a feat in of itself. And they're at the Jordan River ready to cross over, and God says, you camp out here. It's a strange thing to get to a place, and God says, stop. Stop. So often God says, go. Go into all the world. Go make disciples, baptizing in my name. Go, I am with you. But here, in this passage, it's super important. We all understand there are times in your life and mine when we all have to say, stop. Stop talking, stop venting, stop posting, stop scrolling, stop listening, stop the old habits. Stop taking in the messaging that you've been gorging yourself on. Let's face it, we've subbed FaceTime for prayer time, Facebook for the book, the 24/7 news for God's good news. And in this scripture, and maybe in this season of your life, I believe this is one of those holy moments when God says, stop. Your church is entering into a 40-day journey of prayer. So stop what you're doing. Stop fretting. Stop falling for someone else's narrative. Remember, prayer is not wishful thinking. To pray a living prayer, you need to quit wishing you were somewhere else. This is not a Disney movie. Prayer is not wishful thinking for somewhere else, like the old days, or for the future, someday my prince will come. Or that you wish you were somewhere else. Well, we're living here now, but I so wish I was somewhere else. That's not prayer. Because in prayer, you are here. And in Christ, that means God wants you to practice the presence of Christ today. It is no accident that we are here. We need this 40 days of prayer. This is God's invitation to wait on Him. I need to camp. I need to camp in this church. Hey, look at somebody else and say, I need to camp. I need to camp right here on the shores of my identity, on the identity of who God says that I am. Psalm 23 says it too. The Lord is my shepherd. The famous one, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does He do? He makes me lie down in green pastures. He says, lie down. God is saying, lie down, camp. That's a word for somebody today. After 3 days, Joshua chapter 3, verse 2. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and you see the Levitical priests carrying it, you're to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. Man. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Okay, there is so much here. We have to unpack it a bit. First of all, the officers come throughout the camp, the millions of people, and they're giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, most of us think of Indiana Jones, Harrison Ford, great movie, crazy. But what we need to think about as Christ followers is that in the Ark of the Covenant, that should trigger something in us, that the priests are carrying within that box containing the Ten Commandments, within that box is represented God's promises to His people. Remember that you are under a covenant, God's promise to us, God's promise to you. And in this covenant, it's the kind of a covenant where one person is the greater agent and the other is the lesser, and God is the greater agent and we are the lesser. And God knew that we would blow our covenant, but God says, my covenant still holds. So when we get to a place where all this disruption has happened, we've never been here before, God's still trying to get our attention, and you need an Ark of the Covenant. You need this kind of faith. You need the prayers in God's promises, and so do I. God's promises to us leading us, the same way that the Ark of the Covenant led the people across the Jordan River. Bears this question. Have you ever allowed yourself to be led by the promises of God? Or is it just the daily news or what other people are saying? Have you ever allowed yourself to be led by your faith? Apart from which, where you're being led would not make sense. Or are you leaving God out of the equation on every issue? This covenant isn't just for ancient Israel, because we, as recipients of the new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ, are reminded when we are being led by the promises of God, all that that means. This is a reminder for you and for me that God is with us. He has not forsaken us. And God is saying to you, I'm going to bring you through this, bring you through life, bring you through death. I am the living God. Look at verse 3, chapter 4. Chapter 3, verse 4. Then you will know which way to go, Joshua says, since you've never been this way before. So in other words, God's promises, God goes forward as the guide. He moves forward to say, I want you to go this way. In this prayer journey, in your making an impact in the world, God moves first. You never have to feel like if you are following the promises of God that you're out here and God is nowhere. Because you're always following God into a conversation, into a consideration of how you're spending your time, your talents, and your treasure. God leads us there. Should I or shouldn't I? God guides us. Imagine people who don't have the Holy Spirit, who have no hope of being guided because someone hasn't told them the promises of God. His grace goes before us. God moves first. And when we are in Christ, that happens in our conversations. It happens with our fears. It happens with our choices. But look at what happened. Look at the rest of this verse in chapter 4. Then you'll know which way to go, following the promises of God, the Ark of the Covenant, since you've never been this way before. But keep a distance. What? There's social distance in the Bible. What a relief. Just like it talks about pandemic and quarantine in Leviticus. In Joshua chapter 3, keep a distance of about 1,000 yards. What? Don't you know that there are times when you don't know what's happening because you are so into it? I know I get caught up in things. My emotions start getting going. My attitude really starts getting going. And I get so caught up in things. In some situations, the thing I need most is distance, so that you can see the whole picture, so someone can come alongside you. This is the value of Christian counseling. So you can look at the whole of it, even if it's something coming from within yourself. I need distance so you can see the whole picture. There are some days when you are in so deep and you're so in the middle of all of it that you can't even see what's happening. You're inundated. And there are some people you just need to give them distance. Let me say that again. There are some people you just need to give them distance. Then, verse 5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate means to set something apart for God. Lord, I need you to consecrate me. I need to consecrate myself. I need to set myself apart from the spew. As holy, I need to stop. I need to remember who I am and who you are. Lord, let this be a Jordan River moment. Jesus, I need to know you're the one who, you're the God who you say you are. You're my redeemer. You're my sustainer. You're my uplifter. You're my savior. Help me to see more clearly. I need to get some distance. You know, in prayer, we're looking for God to do everything when we haven't started with who God is in our own life. And we need a little distance in our situation, at home, at work, in your marriage, in your parenting, with the people you lead, with the people you love, so that you can engage again, so you can face the Jordan River. In verse 6, Joshua said to the priest, take the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead with them. Your situation needs you fully devoted to following God. Your situation needs you fully devoted to following God. Your kids need it. Your grandkids need it. Your friends need it. Your spouse needs it. Your country needs it. And here's the deal. Faith is going to take us into unfamiliar places. If you think faith in Jesus is going to take you to Easy Street, wake up. Faith's going to take you to unfamiliar places, to the edge of the Jordan River. And we find out later on in verse 14, the Jordan is at flood stage when the people of God are called to cross it to claim their identity as the children of God, the Israelites. How appropriate is that for 2020? We see all the stuff around me, my finances, my church, my ministry, business, my children, my marriage in trouble. I'm facing flood stage, and yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan, the water from upstream, miles upstream, stopped flowing. They were following the promises of God. They had consecrated themselves to this. They had camped, and then they followed. And the water didn't stop until the first priest took his step into the Jordan. This isn't Charlton Heston just hitting the stick. This is the first step into the flood-flowing water. You might say, I'm facing flood stage. And God is saying, with my promises first, take your next step. Would you commit to taking your next step in prayer this week? Rant to God, not to your Instagram or your phone. Stop. Would you distance yourself for clarity on what's going on in your life and the world around us? In defining yourself first as God's person, prayer is the step into that. This week, would you take the step of the tools, the book, the YouTube clip, 40 days of prayer, the 11 a.m. prayer time, 15 minutes, the 24-hour prayer vigil. Would you pray? And it is my prayer that you would. Let us pray. Almighty God, this 40 days of prayer, this 2020 is a defining moment for us, for each of us. God, we've stumbled and we've done okay. But Lord, we want to put you first and follow and allow you to guide us into this 40-day journey through prayer. Thank you, God, so much for the opportunity you've given us. And we pray, Jesus, for the steps you took, that you would encourage us to take those same steps. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And at this time, I invite you to stand for the benediction. There still is going to be, for those of you online or those of you heading home, our virtual adult Sunday school class taking place at 11. Would love for you to join if you're heading home. And we also encourage you to visit with each other on your way out. Of course, you know where the restrooms are, but just thanks for being here. And would you go in humble confidence? Would you go in prayer? The world needs to see it in action. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.